This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way.
Guess what, everybody? We have a live show coming up on May 13th at 6 p.m. Pacific.
Yep, we're doing it in a giant, closed, airtight stadium, and you're all invited. And we're going to cough on you. It's, guess what? It's online.
Surprise. So,
yes.
Like everything, it's going to be online.
But it's free and you're welcome to come. You can register through the link in the show notes or find information on the Reddit at reddit.com/r/everythingspilledmilk. Or I'm going to make a little quick link that'll take you right to where you can register. It'll be bit.ly/spilledmilklive21.
And for the show topic, we are going to be doing a lightning round, which means Matthew and I will not know ahead of time what the topics are. There'll be multiple topics. Abby's going to pull them out of a hat or something like a hat. And we are going to have just a few minutes to do a show about that topic. And so we need your help. Please submit topic ideas for our lightning round.
Send them to topics@spilledmilkpodcast.com.
And join us on May 13th at 6 p.m. Pacific. I'm Molly.
And I'm Matthew.
And this is Spilled Milk, the show where we cook something delicious, eat it all, and you can't have any.
And we're going to keep that whole intro, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Today we're talking about bell peppers.
Of course.
Was this suggested by anyone, or was it like a thing that fell out of another episode?
I'm not sure.
Oh, you know what? I had recently a flashback to one of our earliest episodes, the bagel episode, because that was the one where I think where we were talking about like hot
ooze coming through the bagel hole.
Because I toasted like a supermarket bagel half and spread it thickly with peanut butter, and like this huge glob of peanut butter just fell right out onto the counter.
I introduced my child to pizza bagels last week.
Oh, pizza bagels are so great.
Yes, I had some. Have you made this King Arthur crispy cheesy pan pizza recipe?
That exact recipe, but I do make pan pizza all the time, and I think the recipe I make is pretty similar.
Yeah, and I think honestly the crust of yours is a little more flavorful, but I have made the King Arthur one a couple times in the last month, and I have been doing it like the super cheater's way, buying pizza sauce by my grocery store. And so, yeah, the other day, June wanted something for lunch, and we had some bagels that Brandon had bought somewhere and given to us in the freezer. So we thawed out a bagel, split it, put that pizza sauce on it, some grated mozzarella, and all of a sudden, I thought about our old bagel episode.
Oh, that's so sweet. Like, wow.
Yeah.
So there was just like a vibrating bagel wavelength in the universe.
Yes, there were bagels in the air last week.
That's right. I recently made an anniversary card for wife of the show, Lori, because it was our 25th anniversary.
Oh, congratulations.
Oh, thanks. So I made a list of like jokes related to like things happening in 1996 and best things of the year. And one of them was the pizza bagel at Bagel Stop on Broadway, a bagel place that we both fondly remember that I think probably closed in like 1999.
God, that must have been so, what a good idea to spend that time like hanging out back in, what was it, January of 1996 that you got married?
February.
February. Okay.
Yeah. But we were hanging out in January. We knew each other by the month before we got married.
But like,
we didn't know each other very well, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, obviously. I mean, you really don't know someone well until you've been married to them for like 25 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I would know.
That's right.
Anyway, that must have been really fun, though, reminiscing about like the stuff that you guys shared back then.
Oh, it was really fun. I was going to say, like, I was going to make a joke based on the concept of public service retirement annual service credits, but maybe I'm rethinking that idea now.
Okay. Given that I got lost halfway through the phrase.
I don't think that's actually what they're called. I don't think it has the word service three times in it. Anyway, what I was going to say is, like, you should get credit for years that you spent in past marriages, just because, like the skills that you learned there, like the do's and don'ts, like, you're certainly using that in your current marriage, right?
Right. I mean, I'm like a year and a half into my second marriage. And,
right, so
and
you should get to celebrate, like, your 11 and a half anniversary or whatever.
I totally agree. I mean, what, like, did that 10 years count for nothing? I don't think so.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've been married for 11 and a half years. It doesn't matter that it's to two different people. But okay, Matthew, we're doing a show today on bell peppers.
Yes. Speaking of things that go great on pizza and can improve your marriage, it's bell pepper week.
It is. And if you suggested this episode and we've forgotten, thank you.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, Matthew, let's talk about what's on your bell pepper memory lane.
So, like, I had way more bell pepper memory lane than I expected. Like, are they like a very interesting food? I don't think so, but they're kind of ubiquitous. And so
they're always there.
Yeah, it's like how bagels were in the air. Bell peppers are kind of always in the air. So, okay, so here are my three bell pepper memory lanes. One is the show Iron Chef, where at the beginning, Chairman Kaga always bites into, I think, a yellow bell pepper.
I don't remember what color, but I do remember this.
Yeah, and it's very dramatic and very funny. It, like, makes me laugh every time. And, like, I didn't know back when I was first watching, like, the Japanese Iron Chef, you know, with the hilarious dubbing, that Chairman Kaga, the host of the show, was and is a super famous, like musical theater actor in Japan. And
really?
Has, like, starred in Les Mis and stuff.
Oh, no wonder he does such a dramatic biting of that.
An incredible singer, yeah.
Wow. I don't even know where to go from there.
No, you know, you're right. They, like, in acting school, they spend a lot of time on dramatic biting, like, months. I mean, I think probably, like, in acting school, you do learn, like, how to eat, like, on camera. I don't know.
You must. You know, I always wonder when I see an eating or drinking scene in a show or a movie, I always wonder if they're actually eating and drinking, or, like, what's actually in that cup. Or,
yeah, what's in that cup?
Well, what's in that cup? It's our new hit show.
It's our new segment. What's in that cup?
Inside the cup. Wow, this show could
Inside
go so many different
cup.
Directions. Yes.
Yes. I have heard actors say that they don't enjoy doing those scenes because they have to, like, keep putting food in their mouth over and over. And I think sometimes they do spit. I have gotten good, I feel like, at noticing when someone is drinking from an empty mug, which happens a lot.
Oh, that's so dumb.
Yeah, we know how to do this better than professional producers and directors.
Even if they just put water in it, and let's say it's supposed to be like a coffee cup, even if they just put water in it, you know, you'd wind up with, like, water on your mouth and you'd have to wipe your mouth. Like, I guess there is a reason why the cup would be empty.
Yeah.
Are you a cup half empty or a cuff? Wow.
I'm a cuff half rolled up. I'm a cuff half linked kind of person.
Or
I'll put a cuff link on
are you
one sleeve.
Cuff half unlinked.
Yeah, you're right. I'm more of a cuff,
I think you're
cuff
a cuff half unlinked,
kind of guy.
Okay. All right, Matthew, what else is on your memory lane?
All right, that was number one. By the time we get to number three, the show's going to be over. Okay, number two is that when teenager of the show December was little, we used to read a picture book called Serious Farm about a farmer that was way too serious and needed to learn how to laugh with the help of his farm animals.
I think you told me about this.
Yeah, and
it
contains the line, "I never laugh at bell peppers," which I always thought was a funny line. And so, like when I'm chopping up a bell pepper, I'll often say, "I never laugh at bell peppers."
Nope. Wouldn't do that.
Okay, so this was the one that came to mind that I have not thought about in forever. I think it was in eighth grade. I was invited, like the whole class was invited to someone's, you know, some rich kid's party that was like a dance party held at a like club or something. Like,
do you think this was like a bar or a bat mitzvah?
I don't think so, but it's possible. I remember I bought like a cheap polyester suit because it was like a formal dance.
You mean you bought it or Judy Amster bought it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I used my own money to buy it. No, Judy Amster bought it and then we returned it.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, the thing I remember that happened that I don't know why, like, I remember this, my entire life is I was at the snack table eating green bell peppers raw. Some dumb kid insinuated to me that, like, why, how can you eat bell peppers at a dance? They'll give you bad breath, which is not true at all. And, but like, at the time, I was like, oh no, like, I like blew it. Like, I'm not going to get to fuck platonically or otherwise.
God, kids are so terrible.
But I mean, it was like mean, but also like
dumb,
like uninformed because like bell peppers don't give you like pepper breath, do they?
I have already informed June that garlic will make your breath smell like garlic. And that if she, you know, like, when possible, she should try to eat garlic with the other people she's hanging out with so that they all have garlic.
Yeah, I think that's reasonable.
Breath. You know, I feel like that's reasonable. Speaking of a cloud of scorn hanging over bell peppers.
Yeah.
The thing I remember from my memory lane, other than bell peppers just kind of like showing up places, just like walking
invited
in
or otherwise.
Yeah. I remember that my mother always kind of scorned green bell peppers.
Yeah. When I was starting out as a food writer, that was the first time I learned that some people scorn green peppers especially. And like, I've never understood it because I've always liked them.
I don't understand it either. Like, I don't. Is it that they're too common or something?
I mean, people say they're bitter, but that's true. Coffee
tons
is bitter.
Of things that are bitter. Yeah. Anyway, as a kid, I most often remember encountering bell peppers like on, you know, like a plate of vegetables and dip.
Oh, yeah.
And they were always actually on a crudité plate like that.
Yeah, we did. Remember when we did a crudité episode?
Yes. But I think bell peppers are one of the things that holds up best. You know, like carrots get that weird kind of dry look. Radishes get a weird dry look. Snap peas can kind of look weird and like they've got some sort of skin disease.
Yeah.
Bell peppers look good for quite a while.
Yeah, one of the best preserved crudités. they take home that award every year.
You know, the other place that I remember always encountering bell peppers was in like fajitas.
Yes.
Right?
Fajitas are so fun.
You just looked so excited saying that. Oh, fajitas were so fun. I was never the person who ordered fajitas, I think because as a child, I was genuinely afraid of that sizzling hot skillet that came to the table. I was very risk averse.
You were afraid of dental emergencies and the fajita platter.
But I just remember being like, like, why is it always bell peppers and onions that comes with fajitas?
I mean, those are inexpensive ingredients that are widely available and like smell good when you saute them. So.
Oh, okay. All right. There we go. We just broke
it
down
theory.
For you.
No, okay. Like I.
And I'm Molly. And this was.
Was I supposed to give like a joke answer?
No, I was trying to do the end of the show because I felt like we'd covered everything.
And, our producer is producer Abby. And. Yeah, when you said fajitas, like I genuinely was excited because like I haven't been to a restaurant in a really long time, like more than a year, and like it seems like that might never happen. I can't even imagine what that's going to feel like if it ever becomes possible again. Mm-hmm. But it made me think. Like I love going to La Cocina on Broadway, classic like kind of Tex-Mex Mexican American restaurant. They, you know, every time I go and don't order the fajitas, then the sizzling fajita platter will go by and like land at a nearby table. And I'll be like, I'm such an idiot.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I also remember, I think in the early 2000s, around the time that we first met, Matthew.
Yeah.
In the early 2000s, I think Lynn Rosetta Casper had a newsletter or maybe the Splendid Table had a newsletter. And I remember subscribing to it. And it seemed very like polished and fancy at the time because it would land in my inbox with like, you know, the actual like graphic of the splendid table, like the heading. Anyway, but I remember one week she recommended like a pork recipe where you take a pork tenderloin, maybe just a loin, and you cut it sort of into strips, you saute it, you add, you know, sliced peppers, whatever, and some vinegar. I'm sure this dish has a particular name in Italy, maybe. I mean, it seems like some sort of agrodolce kind of
thing. Yeah,
yeah. But anyway, I remember making it. I think I even wrote about it in the early days of the blog. I think I thought that it was fine.
That's not where I thought that was going.
But anyway, I do remember that from like the years that I lived alone when I was in grad school and was just like doing a lot of cooking because I just
I found the post and now I'm going to be quoting from it liberally. Okay,
no.
You can go ahead and hide your face now, Wally. All right. So the title of the post is A Stewie Stepping Stone.
God, kill me now.
But nonetheless, there comes a time in every young woman's life when she must learn how to handle large pieces of meat. I'll stop now.
I have always been...
I mean, that's pretty funny.
It is pretty funny.
Yeah.
Punny, even. No, it's not punny. I don't know what it is. I'm so embarrassed right now.
Yeah, like a double entendre isn't a pun.
It's not
exactly.
A pun. It's not a pun. What year was that I wrote that?
2006.
Interesting. Huh. I would have thought it was earlier than that. Anyway, this is a thrilling part of today's episode. Can you believe that was 15 years ago?
No, I can't. I don't want to think about it.
Okay. All right, Matthew.
Did you know that the song Stairway to Heaven is turning 50 this year?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Spilled Milk. Okay. Okay. All right, Matthew. I did the research for this show, and I want to get to use my research.
I want you to get to use your research, okay. And so that's why I'm not going to interrupt for the rest of the show.
Okay. We have a whole bunch of sort of taxonomic names here.
Okay.
That I'm going to be leaning on you to pronounce. I mean, some of them.
I mean, you can lean on me when you're not strong or when you need like some Latin
names.
How
old is that song, Matthew?
Oh, that's older.
Okay.
Right?
Yes. So, you know, this was mildly interesting. Bell peppers, not the most interesting subject I've ever researched, but mildly interesting, just like their flavor. There you go. Bell peppers are the fruit of the grossum cultivar group of the species Capsicum annuum.
I guess I would say grossum.
Grossum?
No, I don't know. Also, I have important news. Okay, two things. First of all, when I said I wasn't going to interrupt, I had my fingers crossed.
I saw that.
And secondly, Lean on Me is from 1972, so it's a year younger than Stairway to Heaven. I was wrong.
Oh, that's very surprising. I would not have guessed that. Okay. Anyway, so here's the thing. So all plants in the genus Capsicum are native to the Americas. So,
okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. You know, I hate to bring up Christopher Columbus, but it turns out that he was the person or his shipmates or whatever, they are responsible for getting pepper seeds from the Americas back to Europe in 1493.
There's probably an emerging or like we just need to know about it way to talk about what has been called the Columbian exchange that doesn't like sort of make Columbus a hero.
Yeah. So basically pepper seeds arrived in Europe in 1493 and the plant spread through Europe and Asia. And it was actually in Hungary that the bell pepper developed. So, but otherwise, you know, this whole Capsicum genus is an Americas thing. Anyway, but the mild bell pepper cultivar was developed in the 20s in Hungary. And, you know,
like the 1920s?
That's what I saw.
Wow. Okay.
No,
I believe it.
Because, well, here, we're going to get to, in a second, we're going to talk about why it is that they're not spicy. And so I wonder if that took a certain amount of like sophistication and breeding.
Are they what paprika is made from? I might be like jumping ahead.
There are a number of peppers that go into making paprika. Okay, so botanically, these peppers, or peppers in general, are classified as berries. They're a fruit, of course. I think we all know that, right, everybody?
Yes, yes, teacher.
Okay. Anyway, they can be many different colors, of course, most commonly like red, yellow, or orange, and green. But then, of course, you know, if you've seen them at the farmer's market or if you've grown them, you've also seen that there are many different shades of purple, sometimes ones that are almost black. Then there are the ones that are kind of pale yellow.
Yeah, those are great. When I go to the farmer's market and like the peppers have arrived, like that always like just feels really good, right?
I know. Well, it also means like we're at peak summer and that's always a good feeling.
But, I mean, just the pepper, like the colorful pepper display itself
is very cheering.
Like, I've been reading this book you may have heard of by Ross Gay, and I just realized I forgot the title of the book.
Oh my God, Matthew. Delights? It's the Book of Delights.
Book of Delights. It seems like the sort of thing that Ross Gay might delight in is like a bunch of colorful peppers laid out on a groaning farmer's market display.
That does seem like something that he would be into.
You know what?
Oh my God. I thought you said you weren't going to interrupt anymore.
But I mean, like you could hear the sarcasm in my voice when I said it, right?
Of course. And I saw you crossing your fingers.
Right. I called you teacher in like a, you know, like first grader sort of way. Like like in a Japanese class, like at any age, you can call your teacher sensei. And that sounds totally appropriate.
Yes.
Wouldn't it be great if in English you could just call your teacher like at any age?
Like as an, not a title.
As a form of address.
As a form of address. Yes.
But yeah, I know you can talk about like my teacher, but I want to like directly address the teacher.
Hey, teacher.
Teacher. it's just really fun to say.
Yeah.
And also, I don't like being old and would rather be young.
Right. That has been the theme of today's episode.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's talk about words. Speaking of teacher. Thank you, Matthew, for that segue. So in different parts of the English-speaking world, bell peppers are also called sweet peppers or capsicum, which I find a little confusing, given that, you know, there are many different types of peppers that could be called capsicum. Anyway, the name pepper was actually given by Europeans when the plant arrived there. And at that time, black peppercorns, which are actually from an unrelated plant that originated in India, black peppercorns were a highly prized condiment in Europe in the, you know, the 1400s. And the name pepper was actually kind of what Europeans called all known spices with a hot and pungent taste.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So well, basically,
like there are other vestiges of that because there's like long pepper and you know, pink peppercorns, which are not related to closely related to black pepper, that sort of thing.
Yes. So yeah, basically they kind of slapped the word pepper on the entire genus. Not to mention some things that don't even belong in it.
Right.
But the most commonly used name, I think, around the world for this plant is of Mexican origin, from the Nahuatl word chili. And it would be the word chili or chile.
Yeah.
This was interesting to me, and maybe it won't be interesting to anyone else. But but there are like all the words, even in non-English languages, that are used for peppers all kind of sound like the word pepper a bit. So in Dutch, the term paprika is used for both the spice and the fruit.
In
Switzerland and Italy, there's peperone. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. In French, there's poivron. Spain, pimiento. Is that how you would say it? And then Matthew, what is it in Japanese?
Okay, a red bell pepper in Japanese is paprika. And a green bell pepper is piman.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, it's all so...
Piman is a great tempura item.
Oh my God, yes. Green bell pepper?
Yeah.
And that sounds so much like the French word piment.
Yeah, which I'm sure is where it comes from.
Right. Anyway, typically, the green ones that we encounter are unripe versions of the fruit. Of course, there are some exceptions to this. There's some, like, you know, varieties of green pepper that are green when fully ripe. But
does that mean they're green but they taste more like a red pepper?
That's interesting. Well, I'm really curious. I wish that we were together right now, Matthew, so we could truly do
a
blind tasting, because here in my closet I've got a green bell pepper and a red bell pepper.
Oh, I didn't even get any.
Oh yeah, I've got a cutting board and a knife.
Oh,
here
this
in my
is
closet
great.
With me. I've got a red bell pepper and a green one. You know, Matthew, I can still do a blind tasting. I'm going to close my. I'm going to cut them up. I'm going to kind of mix them up on the
cutting board. Please don't cut them with your eyes
closed. No. I'm going to cut them with my eyes open.
Okay.
I'm going to mix them up, and then I'm going to close my eyes and grab one, and you're going to know what it is, but I won't. And we're going to do it a tasting.
What if you close your eyes and you grab something that isn't a pepper?
I'm going to move the knife well away.
Okay.
Anyway, but yeah, I have to say, I didn't know that the green, like a green bell pepper is just an unripe red one.
Yeah. I think I this is like one of those like food trivia facts that I've heard from time to time. But do I really believe it? Yes.
No. Anyway. So yeah, bell peppers, you asked about the spice paprika, and it is, bell peppers are one of the peppers that go into paprika.
Yeah, because I know, like, I have, like, on my spice shelf, sweet paprika and, like, sharp paprika or hot paprika. And so, like, one of them is spicy and one of them is not spicy.
Yeah, and I'm guessing it's just that they're made with different peppers or different blends of peppers.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And in fact, so bell peppers are the only member of the genus that it does not produce capsaicin.
So a big old goose egg on the Scoville scale.
Correct. And it's because bell peppers have a recessive gene that actually, I think, it stops the production of capsaicin entirely.
That makes sense.
Apparently, there's a type called like Mexibel or something that... where the gene has been altered a bit so that it makes a very small, it's a bell pepper that makes a very small amount of capsaicin.
That sounds pretty good.
I know, right? I like the idea of a bell pepper, but that has more heat to it.
Yeah, it's way better than when you get a jalapeno that has no heat to it, which happens sometimes and is very frustrating.
Yes. I wonder if it like gets a recessive gene.
Maybe it
or
gets,
something.
I mean, like, because I assume there's like a gene that expresses capsaicin, and if that gene is not functioning, then you get a non-spicy pepper. This episode is brought to you by Masterclass.
Matthew, take a minute and picture that thing that you've always wanted to learn.
All right, I'm picturing the thing.
Okay.
And you know, what if I get lost in the wilderness?
Well, okay, this is the thing.
This is the thing.
Oh, okay. Well, so picture learning it from someone who's literally the best at getting lost in the wilderness.
No.
In the world.
You don't understand, Molly. I want to get found in the wilderness.
Oh, okay.
So, and for that, I turn to Jesse Krebs, who is an internationally recognized expert on wilderness survival. She has a class on Masterclass, and she teaches like the five basic needs. And if you think number one is water, you're wrong. She teaches you how to use a knife, how to use rope, one of your most important tools in the wilderness. I don't think I'm going to get stuck in the wilderness, but if I do, I'm going to be really happy that I took this class on Masterclass.
Yeah, well, Masterclass is where you should go if you don't just want to think about learning something, but you actually want to do it with one-on-one classes with the world's best.
Yeah, if you want to learn singing from Christina Aguilera, if you want to learn shooting threes from Steph Curry, there's only one place in the world to do those things, unless you happen to know those people, which you don't.
Yeah, you don't. And every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so there's no risk.
And right now, our listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/spilledmilk15.
That's 15% off right now at masterclass.com/spilledmilk15.
masterclass.com/spilledmilk15.
Want to connect with a family member who doesn't speak your language? Then check out the language learning program Rosetta Stone on desktop or as an app. Rosetta Stone is designed to immerse you in the language you're learning through an intuitive process. Plus, the True Accent feature even gives you feedback on your pronunciation. And with a lifetime membership, you have access to all 25 offered languages. Get started today. Visit rosettastone.com/pod50 to get 50% off your lifetime membership now. That's rosettastone.com/pod50 for 50% off.
Matthew, how about we go into talking about other things? Like you could talk about the Holy Trinity in Cajun and Creole cooking while I cut up my bell pepper and prepare for my blind tasting.
Yes. Okay. I found this so interesting, especially in light of what we were just talking about with Stairway to Heaven and Lean on Me. So when you put up the agenda and we had a section for like, you know, what stuff do you do with bell peppers? Like, I immediately thought of the holy trinity of Cajun and Creole cuisine, which is the mirepoix base that goes into like, you know, crawfish etouffee, gumbo, jambalaya. And it consists of onion, celery, and green bell pepper. Sometimes red bell pepper, usually green bell pepper. And I knew, like, you know, from the early days of like me being interested in food, that this was known as the Holy Trinity. I looked this up to see, like, you know, I went on Wikipedia, and there is a Wikipedia article about it, and then I did some more research and learned that the term Holy Trinity for the aromatic base in Cajun and Creole cuisine dates to 1981.
That's all?
And it first appeared in print in a Craig Claiborne column in the New York Times. He said he got it from Paul Prudhomme, who probably got it from someone else, but there is no evidence that people were saying it much before the early 80s.
That is so weird and surprising.
Yes.
Huh. Okay.
But now it's a thing, like anybody with an interest in food, I feel like has at least heard this term.
Matthew, so I've been cutting up, you know, yes, some chunks of this bell pepper, and God, it smells really good. And we're recording this right now. It is 10:15 in the morning. I'm in my closet, mm-hmm, and this smells so good. Like, my mouth is watering. This is weird to me, because I never buy bell peppers. Like, I never think of it. So anyway, okay, this is what it's like to be in my mouth right now. Okay, so Matthew.
every listener has been wondering that for a long time.
So I'm going to close my eyes, and I'm going to get one piece of pepper, and you're going to know what it is, but I won't.
This is so exciting. I love this. And the listeners are going to love it too, because they can't see anything.
Okay, so can you see what it is?
Yep, absolutely.
Okay.
I don't think you're going to have any trouble distinguishing a green and a red bell pepper.
Okay, so
describe what you're tasting.
It's quite fruity tasting. It's very juicy. At the end, it gets a little like vegetal.
Mm-hmm.
So juicy. Okay, I'm going to grab another one, but you have to tell me if it's the
same one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe I shouldn't tell you.
Okay.
And you have to figure it out.
What about this one?
That's a different one. I shouldn't have told you.
Oh, yeah.
But I think it's going to be pretty obvious.
Yeah. Okay, now, wow, I get it. That is obvious. Do they taste? Okay, the third one was green and the first two were red.
That's correct.
What I noticed, first of all, was the texture of the flesh is so different.
Oh, like, really?
Yeah, like the red is like a little bit softer, a little bit softer, and like bursting with juice. The green one is more firm. It's just more firm.
Do you think the red one is actually juicier, or is it just that it makes you burst with mouth juice when you bite into its succulence?
No, I mean, I can feel with the first bite I take into it, I can feel a spray of juice in my mouth.
Wow. Okay.
Wow. Do they taste this different when they're cooked?
I think they do. Yeah.
This green one, I got to say, I kind of wish I'd gotten the green one before the red one, because after tasting I cheese plated this all wrong.
That is a risk you run when you do your cheese, you do blind cheese plating.
Yeah. The green one tastes much less like delicious eating the red one.
Like, I don't mind snacking on a raw green bell pepper, but I think it's better cooked.
Yeah. I wish that I had them both cooked here to compare.
Yeah. Anyway, do you have a hot plate in your closet?
I don't.
Okay.
That was really interesting. Thanks for playing along with me,
Yeah,
Matthew.
It was interesting for me too, to watch and not get to eat any.
Is your mouth watering? What's going on in your mouth right now?
Well, a lot of moisture, like waves. Just kind of sloshing from side to side in anticipation.
I got to tell you, the green one tastes straight up unripe when eaten raw.
I mean, do you wish you could go back to not knowing that it's an unripe red pepper?
I do. I think I would just be like, I can't. I know. I can't. Unless, what if I go into that movie, The Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind?
Yep. Wow, I found that movie so tedious. People have been begging for my review of that movie. and now you're going to get it.
Okay, Matthew.
But so- no, it would be great, like, if you could wipe unwanted memories from your brain and definitely nothing would go wrong.
Oh, God, yes. Can you even imagine? Our whole world would be so different.
It would, yeah.
Can you imagine how functional we would all be, I think?
I don't
or
know.
Or not.
I think
no?
maybe not. I think
maybe
we would
be
just
monsters.
Be like sitting around like pressing the eraser button all the time or however that worked.
Okay. Okay. Anyway, let's talk about
wait a minute. Has it been noticed that that movie is the opposite of Total Recall? I'm sure I'm not the first person to realize that. Have you seen Total Recall?
I haven't seen Total Recall.
Okay. So in Total Recall, you like go to Total Recall and they implant a good memory.
Okay.
So like if you can't afford to go on vacation to Mars, you go to Total Recall and they like implant a memory of your great vacation on Mars where like, you know, you and your wife were having sex all day on Mars. But then something goes wrong. But so like in Eternal Sunshine, like I definitely need to explain this much further, huh? Because like everybody didn't already like get what I was saying. But like in Eternal Sunshine, they take out the bad memories, and in Total Recall, they give you the good memories. It's okay. One movie is the opposite of the other movie.
All right, I'm gonna go check my email now while you're
okay. Great.
While you're going on about this. Okay, Matthew. All right.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about what we use bell peppers for. Do you buy these things?
I buy them like for specific purposes. Like they're not on the like, you know, we have to keep these around. Like lately we've been doing like an exceptional job of always having a large quantity of green onions in the crisper drawer.
Ooh.
So like every time I go in there, there's like three bunches of scallions and like, you know, it makes me feel like a sense of abundance. You know, yellow onions always got to be in there. Like a can of tomatoes. I don't know if that's not a produce item, but similar. And I don't know, like I always want to have cilantro around, but it goes bad really quickly.
Matthew, you're wrap it up.
This is what you asked, right? You wanted, you said list off all produce and kind of produce items.
Do you ever buy these things?
Wow. I thought I was like ready to do the show this morning, but like the universe had different ideas.
Okay.
Matthew, you've lost your privileges. I went to that Eternal Sunshine place and I said, like, can you take out all of like my memory of how to do a podcast? And they were like, right away, sir. Okay. Yeah. Sometimes I buy bell pepper.
Okay. And do you like, I assume you buy them because a recipe calls for them.
Yeah. Like I'm going to make cheesesteaks or
what
stir
color
fry.
Pepper do you buy?
I like a green pepper for cheesesteaks. I don't think I've bought a red bell pepper in a while. Like, there is some recipe that I make that I do put red bell peppers in. I might think of it.
I mean, I venture to guess that... So I feel like red bell peppers have had really an extended day in the spotlight.
They ripen.
Well, because they were named like a superfood. Do you remember how they like? Well, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, like in all those dumbass magazines aimed at, or those dumbass like diet culture magazines.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
They always have these lists of like 10 superfoods you should be eating all the time, and it's like blueberries and bell peppers and
turmeric.
Quinoa. And anyway, it's always red bell peppers they talk about because I think red bell peppers do have the highest amount of whatever, vitamin C or something.
Mm-hmm. Or like red stuff.
Red stuff. Anyway, so.
Beta carotene, maybe?
Maybe. Anyway, okay. So I think that a lot of people buy these things to eat raw, especially red bell peppers. And especially if you are concerned about health. I think that they pretty much always show up in salad bars, right? Like, remember when there used to be salad bars?
Yeah.
And then,
I mean, I think salad bars were kind of already in decline.
But now salad bars are firmly declined.
Like, do you think salad bars are going to come back? I don't know.
But I think people know pretty well that, like, COVID doesn't live on food for very long.
Yeah, that's true. But, like, I don't know.
Okay. Anyway, so I wrote here on the agenda that a bell pepper sometimes shows up on pizza, and you wrote, what, in all caps underneath
Well, you wrote,
it.
Who does that? You left out a key piece of information.
But
I love bell peppers on pizza.
Oh, I thought your what was that, like, nobody does this.
No, because you wrote, on pizza, who does that?
Yeah, I don't want a bell pepper on pizza. Who wants that? Oh, God,
I think, like, pepperoni and green pepper is one of the best pizza combinations.
Huh.
I used to order it on my French bread pizza at Pizza Express when I was a teenager.
I guess I only think of it on a Supreme pizza.
Yeah.
Like, green bell pepper. Sure, it's always, like, green.
Yeah, okay, no, but, like, I love a Supreme pizza, and, like, it would be inferior without the bell pepper.
Okay, fine. You're right. I'm rethinking everything now.
Okay.
Okay.
Like, do I want a pizza that's just bell pepper? No.
Correct.
I don't think so.
Oh, that is correct. You don't.
But, like, I think, like a pizza with, like, just some, like, nicely, like, you know, seared onions sounds great, but, like, a pizza with just green bell peppers feels like it's missing something.
Yeah. Okay. What about stuffed peppers? Do you ever make stuffed peppers?
I think we had, like, on our, like, episode
stuffed
to-do
food.
List for a long time. Like, oh, wait, did we do the stuffed foods episode? I think maybe we did.
I think.
I thought I was going to say maybe we never did it because, like, neither of us could really, like
we
get
we don't
into
stuff
it.
Anything.
We couldn't, just, like, couldn't get it up to stuff. I don't think of stuffed peppers as being one of my favorite things. On the other hand, I think I have had some that were quite tasty.
I think of them as having been a big deal when I was a kid. Like, it was
it was
a typical thing that would be on, like, the old weeknight rotation in somebody else's household, not in mine. But I remember in high school, there would be, in the cafeteria, there would be stuffed peppers sometimes. And I think that was my first real encounter with them. And I was like, oh, this is tasty. But I don't really know why, personally. I never feel motivated to do that. I just don't. Yeah, I don't tend to stuff vegetables.
Yeah, no, I tend to stuff anything. I mean, I guess
I don't
make dumplings.
I tend to stuff anything.
But other than dumplings, I don't think I'm much of a stuffer.
Okay, fair enough.
And I'm fine with that. I like stuffing a sleeping bag into a stuff sack. That's very satisfying.
It's very satisfying, but wow, can you work up a sweat doing that? Wow.
I know.
It's very tiring, especially if you're actually in a tent with, like, the sun shining on it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I mean, that probably never happens to you.
Okay, so, no, was the sun shining when we went camping? I think it was at some point.
Yeah. I think the sun was shining when we went camping, remember? And we were kind of, like, near over that river, sort of.
That was nice.
That was nice. You want to go camping again?
I think maybe I do. I mean, I slept terribly and
you
I got really
did.
Cold at night, but
oh, God,
but I had podcasts.
I love sleeping in a sleeping bag.
I mean, I like the idea, but, like, in practice, I don't think I like it.
Well, and I like the old school sleeping bags like we have that. Did you sleep in one of ours?
No, I think I brought one that was maybe like borrowed from Silots W.
Ours are like the, you know, the super, like, I think of them as very 70s. They're like kind of nylon, like very slippery nylon on the outside, and they're lined with plaid flannel on the inside.
Oh, yeah.
And they're super bulky. I mean, you would never take that thing, like, backpacking. But anyway, oh my God, I love sleeping in them. Ah, the, like, flannel, the cushy flannel.
And does it have a stuff sack, or do you, like,
roll
it?
Oh, it has a stuff sack.
Okay.
You roll it, and then you put it in the stuff sack.
Because when I was a kid,
you stuff it, you mark it with
Tuff it?
Yes.
When I was a kid, we had, like, I think it might have been a down-filled sleeping bag that you would actually just, like, stuff into the sack. Like, you wouldn't roll it first.
Yeah.
And, like, that was also, that was a good workout. Like, do you think we could market a workout routine based on, like, stuffing and unstuffing a sleeping bag?
Probably. I think that, I'm not sure how you'd work legs into it, but I think we can do it.
That is a good point.
Okay, Matthew, can we just keep moving? Oh, my God.
We can.
Okay. Stir fries.
Yeah, I think bell peppers are great in stir fries.
And you wrote here, Matthew used to love pepper steak at Chinese American restaurants.
Yeah, it'd be just like a beef and green bell pepper stir fry, like, you know, with brown sauce. That's something I will still sometimes make at home.
Mm-hmm.
It's very tasty.
Is there anything else we should talk about that people do with bell peppers? I'm sure there's a lot of stuff that we don't have in our repertoire here.
I'm sure we'll hear from people at contact@spilledmilkpodcast.com or on the Reddit at reddit.com/r/everythingspilledmilk.
Yeah, everybody, tell us what you do with bell peppers.
Yeah, like, I'm still thinking about that sizzling fajita plate going by. Like, I keep imagining, like, I can sort of get a whiff of it.
Okay, Matthew, how about we move into our segments? God, we are so off our game today. Abby's going to kill us.
Let's stuff ourselves like headfirst into these segments.
Okay, can I read the spilled mail today?
Please do.
So this one is from listener Lynn. Was this in response to, oh, we did an M&M episode recently.
Yes.
Okay, so listener Lynn wrote
to us. I
think
the M&M episode might have been our longest episode ever.
This one's going to be a close second.
Yeah.
All right, so listener Lynn says, when I open a package of M&Ms, any kind, I have to arrange them in color order. Oh, I hadn't read this email before, so I'm experiencing it for the first time as I share it with you, listener. Every experience is different. I'm usually at work, so I line them up at my desk on a piece of paper, in parentheses, I work in a high school office, and arrange them like a rainbow or line graph. It depends on the number of each color or if they are rolly like the peanut ones can be. I try to eat them mindfully and not to gobble them up in a few handfuls, which would be so easy to do. I'm right there with you, Lynn.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I take one or two max at a time and savor the moment. I typically start with the color that is poorly represented. That's so kind. The bar graph might turn into a triangle or square or some other random weird shape, but the goal is to make them last. I love our listeners.
I do too. This is great. And so then the question is, in what order do you eat your M&Ms? And my answer is in the order they come out of the bag, but I think I'm going to try like eating them more like mindfully and mindfully. That's what the M&M stands for.
Yeah, I eat them in the order they come out of the bag. It never occurred to me to do this. This seems very visually pleasing. It was pleasing even to just like read through this description.
I know. I'm wondering now, like if I were like going into listener Lynn's office, at all times would she have like some sort of geometric or like a histogram of M&Ms? Like just out on the desk, because I feel like that would make me very hungry.
I wonder if listener Lynn works in like sort of an open floor plan, if she has an office where she can close the door, if she's in a cubicle.
Is she working from home?
Like, do other people see this and how do they respond? Because, wow, that's a lot of temptation for one's coworkers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is, yeah. I guess I would like live in constant low grade fear of M&M jackings.
Well, yeah, you would not be able to get up and use the bathroom the whole time they're out there. Like, got to protect them M&Ms.
Them M&Ms, okay. Yes.
Wow, listener Lynn, thank you so much.
Yes.
I seriously am grinning.
All right, if you want to send us a message, contact@spilledmilkpodcast.com or ask it on the subreddit.
Matthew, what's our cute animal that we need to know?
So speaking of the subreddit, this was recommended by listener Susan on Reddit. It's the rosy maple moth. It's a pink and yellow moth, Dryocampa rubicunda, found in the eastern U.S. and somewhere else. I lost the rest of my agenda. Canada.
I'm looking at it right now. We'll link to a YouTube video. And guys, it looks like candy.
It looks like candy. It looks like like an outfit that someone would wear like on a kid's show in the 70s, maybe.
Yes.
Like kind of disco inspired.
Oh my, the color pink that this guy is so beautiful. And it has this fuzzy yellow body. Oh my God.
And fuzzy antennae also.
Hold on, I'm trying. Oh, it's, hold on. Wow, this video is long. Oh my God,
yeah,
guys.
Yeah, you don't have to watch the whole thing. Just.
Oh my God, it's so cute. And it even has like pink legs.
Yeah.
Oh my God. This is the moth that we've all been waiting for.
It is. Can you imagine? Like, I mean, some people we don't live in the habitat, you know, within the range of this moth. But like people who do, this could just like land on your finger or something.
Oh my God. Listeners who live in the habitat range of the rosy maple moth, you are so lucky. Send us in your pictures of rosy maple moth. I can't get enough.
And to be clear, that's Dryocampa rubicunda. Like, we don't want to hear about some similar species.
Okay. And now.
Oh, wait. Quick. Another segment, calling it quilts. A listener asked if you could post a photo of your quilt.
Oh, I will.
Okay,
I will post a photo of my quilt if I can figure out how to. On our subreddit. How about that,
okay,
everybody?
If you can't figure it out, producer Abby and I can help, I think.
Okay, cool. All right, everybody. It's now time for my favorite new segment, Now But Wow. Stuff we're into this week. And this week, Matthew and I have the same Now But Wow.
Yes. Go ahead.
Okay. So we both recently read the book Memorial. It's a novel by Brian Washington. It came out in 2020. You may have seen the cover. It's this blue background with like a white plastic like grocery or takeout bag that's being held by chopsticks. Looks yes. almost like a white flag.
Yeah, it's a really striking cover. It is like an unusual book that I enjoyed very much. I feel like it sort of had a twist partway through that mm-hmm. I wasn't expecting, just in terms of like point of view.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about these two guys who are a couple. And they live in Texas. And when the book starts, like one of them, who is Japanese American, like goes off to tend to his dying father in Osaka, but simultaneously his mother has come to visit, and so the other member of the couple is left with his partner's mom, like mm-hmm. Who is a very, very vivid character and like a real personality, and so they have to like figure out how to suddenly navigate their relationship living together. And there is tons of food in the book. Like the way that like the neighborhoods are drawn is just like incredibly detailed. And I loved how the neighbors, even though the neighbors weren't really even characters in the book, like, you know, they felt like real people with just like drawn with just a few words.
Totally. I also really enjoyed that it was kind of an unconventional look at a love story. Like these two guys were struggling in their relationship.
Yeah.
And it was just really interesting what Brian Washington did with their story. There was something kind of subtle about it, even as there were really big emotional moments and shifts. So anyway, that's Memorial.
And there's a lot of food in the book.
Yes.
Both the food of Texas and the food of Japan are very well represented.
Yeah. So that's Memorial by Brian Washington. Check it out.
All right. You can find us online at spilledmilkpodcast.com, reddit.com/r/everythingspilledmilk. Our producer is Abby Circatella.
And what else?
I don't know. That's probably as much as we need to reveal at this point.
Okay. All right. Thank you for listening to Spilled Milk.
The show that makes your ears water in anticipation.
I'm Molly Weisenberg.
And I'm Matthew Amster Burton.
Harry Styles was so adorable.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God.
I like that song.
Why is he so cute? Oh my God. And he's so Mick Jagger.
Yeah.
Although I never found Mick Jagger very fuckable. I would totally fuck Harry Styles.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Would you?
No, but I mean like in a like platonic way.
Oh. That's the only way, really, you know. Okay. I don't know. I was just riffing on that, but that isn't the only way.
The platonic isn't the only way to fuck. That's our new slogan. It's our new motto for 2021. In 2021, platonic, it's not the only way to fuck.
I'll get busy making t-shirts.
Yeah, you'll get busy. All right.
Okay.
I'm
Molly.
Matthew. No. Oh no.
God, okay. Okay.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.